today is singing and shouting is come.
Amen.
Okay. Singing and shouting is come. You know, when I was questioning the Lord what he would have me share today, I felt like he wanted me to go back into the book of Job. And I'm going to go back into the book of Job. And you know, Scripture tells us that Job was one of the most righteous men on the face of the earth in his day. But you know what? Even when you're a righteous man in your day, your righteousness is as filthy rags unto the Lord. And he was a righteous man. And you know, we all know that God allowed Satan to touch his life and allowed him to really basically take away everything that he had. But Job at least had enough knowledge of the Lord to where he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And even when his wife was going to basically tell him, "Job, how long are you going to retain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die?" Now, that's pretty rough for your wife to tell you something like that. I mean, in this day and age, that might be grounds for a divorce. I don't know. But, you know, we don't really believe that much in divorcing and stuff. But you know, that's a terrible thing for a wife to say to her husband. "Why don't you just curse God and die?" You know. And he replied to her and he said, "Woman, shall we receive only good at the hand of the Lord and not also evil?" And it goes on and it says in there, and it says, "And in all these things, did not Job charge God foolishly or sin with his lips?" Job understood the sovereignty of God. But Job also was a little bit puffed up because he knew a lot of things for his day. And I'm going to pick up with Job 37, chapter 37, verse 23 and 24. And this is Job talking here, and he says, "Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out." And I'm going to tell you what, you can find him out. But Job didn't believe you could. "We cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment, and in plenty of justice, he will not afflict." Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that, because he can let you get afflicted if he wants to. But sometimes the afflictions are not really to bring you down or to punish you. It's to humble you enough to where you'll really seek after the Lord. And it says, "Men do therefore fear him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart." And, you know, Job thought he had most of the answers, because when his comforters came around and began to start telling him, "Well, you know, Job, if you was really a good guy and a righteous guy, you know, God don't really let this stuff happen to good folk, you know." And how many know that bad stuff happens to good people? But how many also know that all things work together for them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose? Now, what does that mean? That means that no matter what happens, if you're called according to his purpose, it's going to work together for good in you somehow. Doesn't mean that it'll seem good. Doesn't mean that you're going to be shouting the victory all the time, because sometimes you're not. But I tell you what, if we know that and we stand on that word, then we can walk with an assurance and a confidence that God's your helper no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening. And, you know, because Job had said this stuff, and he thought he was pretty wise, and he was pretty wise in his day, God began to talk to Job. And in Job 38, 1 through 7, and these are my seven main scriptures here today that we're going to deal with, and I'll get into some other scriptures to show you what was actually happening here. But these are my seven main scriptures today. And you know, if you understand numerology in the Bible, seven is the number for God. So anytime you see seven things, then it's going to be talking about God, and it's going to be talking about him in a very powerful way if you'll listen to what's being said. It says, and then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind. And that word for whirlwind there is the same as a hurricane or a tornado. You ever been in a tornado in the natural? One time years ago, I worked on River Road down in Cincinnati, and a tornado came down through that area and went through Delhi Hills down there. And I was driving home from work, and I was on a road parallel with the road where the tornado was. And it was probably about maybe as far as from here to 747 away from me, or maybe a little bit farther than there, than the road out there, you know, Princeton Pike. And I'm going to tell you, my car was rocking, and it was going like this as I was driving down the road. And I probably should, if I hadn't been so young and so stupid, I probably would have got out of the car and got in a ditch or something. But I just kept driving down the road. And there was billboards that blew over, you know, big billboards and everything else. And it hit the firehouse over in Delhi. But anyway, so I kind of know a little bit what a hurricane's like or a tornado is like. But I'll tell you what, we all have hurricanes and tornadoes hit our lives at times. Times when you just feel like, oh, God, can anything else go wrong? Lord, what in the world is happening? You know, you just feel like everything's almost being devastated sometimes in your life. But anyway, the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, and sometimes right in the midst of the most troubling times, God will speak to you if you'll say, Lord, give me ears to hear what your Spirit's saying to me in this situation. And not only will he speak to you, he will teach you something very valuable if you'll listen. And verse 2 says, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Now he's talking to Job. This was the most righteous man on the face of the earth, Scripture tells you back then. And I took a look at those words there. And when it says, who is this that darkeneth? And he's saying, who are you that you withhold the light? You're withholding the light. And it says there, the counsel or the purpose. And the purpose and the knowledge, the word for knowledge there is to ascertain by seeing, to be taught by God to men. And you know what? Sometimes we think we know all the answers. Sometimes we think we got it all down, buddy. And if we just go our way and do our thing, what we think God's telling us to do, we'll be just fine. But I tell you what, we don't have the answers all the time. There's only one answer, and that one answer is Jesus Christ and the Spirit of Christ inside of you. That's the answer. And then it goes on in verse 3, and he talks to him, and he says, gird up now thy loins like a man. And you know, when he says, gird up your loins like a man, a lot of times in Scripture, when you see the word man, it's the word Adam, but it's not Adam here. It's a different word. And he says, gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Now, instead of it being the word Adam, it's the word Gerber. And it's properly a valiant man or warrior. Generally, a person, simply, everyone, man, and mighty. It's talking about somebody other than Adam. I'm going to tell you what. Scripture says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. He wasn't going to talk to him as Adam. Because the name Adam actually has the meaning of, it literally has the meaning of a man of low degree, ruddy, red. It means a man of low degree, a hypocrite, and all those kind of things. And I'm going to tell you what, anytime you're operating in the nature of Adam, you're going to be hypocritical. You're going to say bad things about people. You're going to say you're going to do bad stuff to people. You're not going to look out for their best interests. But he basically was saying to him, he says, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? He's saying, why are you acting like you know everything, Job? You don't, you know. Don't none of us know everything. We only know what God reveals to us. And I'm going to tell you, the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. And the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. Okay? And he says here, he says, told him to gird up his loins. And he's talking to him like a man, like somebody valiant, like somebody that's a warrior, like somebody that's, a mighty person. That's what he was saying to him. Remember in the Old Testament when Gideon was down in the wine press because all of the enemies of the land were still in the fruit of the land? I mean, he's down in the wine press. He's hiding behind it, hiding in it. Why? Because he's thrashing wheat. You know, he's trying to get some food for himself. He's trying to get some bread. He's trying to get some stuff. And what happens? The angel of the Lord appears unto him and speaks to him and says, O Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. He didn't call him Adam. Thou mighty man of valor. You know what? Because he's not going to bless Adam. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. And, you know, it says, and the next verse says, where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? He's saying to him, Job, if you think you know so much, answer me this. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And if you have understanding, he said, who hath laid the measure thereon, if you know? And who hath stretched the line upon it? And then in verse 6, he says, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Now, I'm going to tell you what. We know who the cornerstone is. The cornerstone is Jesus. But yet, he's talking to Job. And why is he talking to Job? He's talking to Job because Job was self-righteous. Job was a real religious fella. I'm telling you, he was. Because any time that his children got together, he'd pray and ask God to forgive whatever inequities they would do or anything like that. He was pretty good about that. But I'm going to tell you what. Most of his wisdom was self-wisdom. And I'm going to give you a big secret here. Confess that you're stupid when it comes to the things of the Lord. Because you are. Confess that you are stupid. Because I'm going to tell you what, until you confess that you're stupid, then he can't really deal with you. Because you're almost in a position like Job here. If you start thinking, well, bless God, I've got tons of revelation in God, you know. And I'm going to tell you what, when I see ministries, and I've seen them out there, and I've seen even a few that's come in here before. And buddy, they were puffed up, some of them. And they did have a lot of knowledge, a lot of insight into things. But I'm going to tell you what, when you got insight into the things of the Lord, you better have it with humility. You better have it with realizing it's not about you, it's about Him. You know, I mean, I heard a brother say one time, and I'm not picking on anybody, but I heard a brother say one time, I could take you to the deep end of the pool and drown you. And I'm going to tell you what, I thought, oh my God, what is he saying? Doesn't he know that sounds like, boy, I'm way, way above you and you're way, way down there. You know, and I'm going to tell you what, you better be careful when you say stuff like that. I don't care how much wisdom you got. I don't care how much revelation you got. You better be careful when you say that kind of thing concerning the things of the Lord, because he knows exactly how to bring you down. And he asked Job these questions. He said, where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare it if you have understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereupon fastened? Who laid the cornerstone thereof? Now, I'm not going to really read you verse 7 yet. We're going to come back to verse 7 here in a little bit. And I'm going to tell you, well, I will read verse 7. It says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. He said, where were you, Job? If you're so smart, if you have all of the answers, Where were you? And you know what? Job later on in Scripture says, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now I've seen you. And God restored him everything that he had before, after he made that confession. And I'm going to tell you what, we all need to make sure that we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, because in due season he will exalt us. He will exalt us, not us exalting ourselves. Because, buddy, when we start exalting yourself, you're getting on some pretty treacherous ground. Now, he said to him, where were you when I laid all these things? Where were you when I did all this? To find out where Job was, really, you have to go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay. Now, the word in the beginning there is the word resheath in Hebrew. And it means first in place, time, order, rank, and it means specifically first fruits. Okay? And he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the word for God there is the word Elohim. And a lot of times when you see the word God in Scripture, sometimes it's Elohim, sometimes it's Jehovah, sometimes it's Adonai, sometimes it's El Shaddai, sometimes it's other Hebrew words. Because God has multiple personalities. He's a lot of things to a lot of people, you know. But when he says Elohim, that I'm going to give you a little bit of definition of that word. And it says Elohim, but specifically used in the plural, thus especially with the article of supreme God. Plural. Now, I'm no English scholar, which is obvious if you listen to me talk a lot of times. I murder English most of the time. But what's the difference between something when it's plural and when it's singular? When it's singular, it's just one. When it's plural, it can be many. It can be many. Okay. Now, when he asked Job, he says, Job, he says, where were you when I did all these things? Well, Job didn't know, because it wasn't time for Job to know that yet. In our day, it's time for us to know, because God has taken the lid off of things. And to really find out where he was, we need to go to Proverbs 8, 22 through 31. Okay? And here's what Solomon wrote in Proverbs. He said, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of my way, of his ways, before the works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever before the earth was. It says, then when there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. While as yet you had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. You mean he was there? Yeah, he was. Okay, and it says, I was there when he set the compass on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he stretched the fountains of the deep, when he gave the seas his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the fountains of the earth, when I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. Rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delight were with the sons of men. Okay? Now, Psalm 82. Let's talk about Elohim a little bit. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. And the word for mighty there is El, E-L. And that's another word that's used for God in Hebrew. If you take time to study into the Hebrew in the actual scriptures that you read, you'll find these words. It said, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. And it says, he judges among the gods. And that word mighty there is El God. He judges among the gods. And the words for gods there is the word Elohim. He judges among the Elohim. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked, Shelah? Who's he talking to? He's talking to the gods. Okay. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither do they understand. They walk in darkness. All of the foundations of the earth are out of course. What did he just say to Job? He says, you're walking in darkness. Why are you trying to explain something you don't know what the heck you're talking about? You know. And I'm going to tell you what, you could go into a lot of the churches around, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of the preachers are getting up this morning and they're preaching sermons, and sometimes they don't even know what they're talking about. But it's given in this day and age, God's starting to take the lid off. He's starting to bring the understanding where we can come to the place where we can understand what he's doing. And it says, how long will you judge unjustly except the person of the wicked, Shelah? That means stop and take notice. Defend the poor, the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Now, this is him talking, see. He said, I said, you're gods. You're Elohim. And all of you children of the Most High. And that's Elyon, the title of the Supreme Most High God. And it says, but you shall die like men, like Adam. That's the word Adam for men there. You shall die like men, which is Adam. And the name, and Adam means ruddy, a human being, another. Remember what he said, I'll not give my glory to what? Another. Hypocrite, common sort, low man, of low degree, person. That's who Adam is. And I'm going to tell you what, everybody that's functioning out there in Adam that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that's a perfect description. I don't care how intelligent they are. I don't care how educated they are. That's who they are because they're in Adam, okay? And it says, and fall like one of the princes. Now here he says again, he says, arise, O God, Elohim, judge, and the word for judge there means to pronounce sentence for or against. By implication, to vindicate or to punish. Now let me ask you a question. In your dealings with God, what sentence did he pronounce for you? For or against? For. Okay. You can answer. I won't get upset. Okay. Did he vindicate or punish you? He vindicated you. So if you're part of Elohim, what do you have to do when you deal with everybody else? Same thing that he did for you. He shall have judgment without mercy who hasn't shown mercy, it says in James. And one translation, it says, when you're judged and you've shown mercy, you can smile in the face of judgment. Why? Because he'll give it right back to you, the mercy and the forgiveness. Okay? All right. He said, arise, O God, O Elohim, judge and pronounce sentence. Don't you know that the scripture says that the saints are going to judge the world? Do you know that? It does say that. The saints are going to judge the world. Now, how are you going to judge them? Are you going to judge them where they're vindicated? Are you going to judge them to where, you know, where they're against, where you're against them, or are you going to judge where you're for them, for or against? What are you going to do? How are you going to judge? Okay, now let's go on a little bit further. He said, when the morning stars sang together, all the sons of God shouted for joy. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 5, it says, arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thy eyes round about, and see all they gather themselves together. They come to see thee. Come to thee. Thy son shall come from afar, and thy daughter shall nurse at thy side. When thou shalt see the flow and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. In Scripture, when it talks about the sea, it's talking about the sea of humanity. Abundance of the sea shall be converted. Converted to what? Converted to being his sons and his daughters. Converted to being forgiven. You know, and it says, converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And you know who the Gentiles is? It's the people that don't know the Lord. That's, I don't care what land they're in or whatever. It's the people who don't know God. And you know what? He's taken a people out of the Gentiles for his name. At one time, we didn't know him. And you know what? Through his love and his mercy, he started revealing himself to us. And I'm going to tell you what, folks. He's calling you up into a high place in him. He's calling you up into a place of forgiveness, of extending forgiveness and extending love. And if you can't do it in yourself, which you can't, you can do it in him. You can ask him, Lord, help me to be a forgiving person. Help me to forget the things of the past and to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And what is that high calling in Christ Jesus? Read Ephesians, the fourth chapter. It basically says there that we need to speak, we should come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? It's coming up into everything that he is. Scripture says, as he is in this world, so are we. Do you believe that? Sometimes we walk like we don't believe it. And it also tells us that when we see him as he is, we shall do what? Be just like him. God, open our eyes. Open our eyes that we can really begin to see what your plan and your purposes or whatever for creation really is. You know, when God said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion, he has never deviated from his first words that he spoke there. Now, for a time, man was lowered into a lower realm, for a time. And Scripture tells us that the creature was made subject to vanity, futility, that means futility, not willingly, but by him who subjected the same in hope. And why did he subject the same in hope? I'm going to tell you what, it's sort of like in the natural. If you're poor in the natural, and you know what it is to be poor, and then God blesses you and you get money and you get the ability to do the things that you need to do and whatever. Which is better, being poor or being able to do the things that you need to do? It's better to have the things that you can do. Well, if you've had things handed to you your whole life, you don't appreciate it. If you're born into a really wealthy family a lot of times, and the patriarch or whatever of the family passes away, you know what usually happens? Most of the time, the kids get that money and they run through it in no time. You know why? They didn't have to work for it. They didn't have to do anything. Go out there and see what happens to people who win the lottery. Most of the time, it's a horror story. It's not a good story most of the time. They find out a few years later that they're dead broke, a lot of them. Why? Because they didn't have to work for it. It was just handed to them. And you know what? I'm going to tell you what. God gave me a poem years ago, and it goes like this. Rich was he, yet poor he became. For he loved you so much that he even bore your shame. For not only did he die upon Calvary's tree, but he left the splendor of heaven to set all captives free. For the sacrifice he made was one without compare, for he left the glory of heaven, his love for all to share. And you ask, oh, how does this wondrous gift apply to even me? For he brought you from the realms of death unto that of eternity. And you ask, oh, how do I receive this gift? For the answer is simple, you see. For if by faith you'll humble your heart, you'll receive peace and harmony. And I'm going to tell you what, his peace is the peace that passes knowledge, passes understanding. But I want you to know, folks, he's about ready to really bring to bring this thing to a head in a lot of things. And I don't know when and how and whatever, and I don't even claim to try to know. I just have to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm stupid when it comes to these things. If you want me to know, you have to reveal it to me. And I'm going to tell you what, don't allow yourself to be like Job, to think you got all the answers. Because I tell you what, you don't. And when God starts opening things up to you, it will be something way beyond what you thought originally. But I'm going to tell you, I've learned over the years that I'm not the most educated person in the world. I don't speak the greatest English in the world. And what does the Lord do? He has me teaching people what Hebrew words say and what Greek words say a lot of times. You know. And why does he do that? Because he chooses the foolish to confound the wise. That's exactly why. You know, I admit I'm foolish in myself. But I tell you what, I'll gladly be foolish in myself that I might receive his wisdom, that I might receive his understanding, that I might move and flow in him and begin to move up into what he said here. And I'm going to tell you what, when he talked about the morning stars, he was talking about you. He was talking about you. You were with him before the foundation of the world. You know, there's a scripture that we know that one of the greatest scriptures that was ever a revelation that came to the church in the last few years, and it's in about all churches, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, that isn't what most people believe. They believe Christ out yonder somewhere is the hope of glory. And they're waiting for him to come back in that sense. And then, boy, it's going to be glorious. But I tell you what, in Romans, the 8th chapter says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Not to us, in us. Because you know what? You're the body of Christ. What does that mean? You're the body of Christ. Where does he dwell at? Won't he dwell in his body? Know you not that you're the temple of God? Where's God dwell at? In his temple. You know, so, you know, if I want you to know, folks, you are the stars. You are the sons. You're the sons. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It's in Gospel of John, first part. And in Romans 8 chapter says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? Sons of God. See, a lot of times when I listen to the really intelligent guys out there that are preaching, they blow right past the truth because it's so simple and so basic, they can't even see it. They blow right past it. And you know, I had the opportunity when I was real young of had the guy live next door to me. He bought the building I lived in, actually. He had a doctor's degree in nuclear physics. He was a Chinese guy, and I used to play handball with him on the wall and badminton in the yard. He'd jump on his head to try to hit a badminton, and I'd beat him almost every time we played. And I mean, he'd just about kill himself trying to win. And Oriental people are very determined, and they really work hard at things. Sometimes us Americans could take a lesson from some of them, I'll tell you the truth. Very seldom do they not do good in school and things like that, because their whole culture is about, you know, respect and, you know, doing that kind of thing. But you know what? He would come over to my house sometimes, once in a while. When me and Margaret, we'd be sitting there, and we'd be watching television. And he'd come over to my house and sit down, and he'd be watching some sitcom or something. And I'd have to sit there and explain to him what was happening, because it was so simple, he couldn't even see it. And that's the problem with knowledge puffs up in the natural. So we need to make sure that we keep ourselves humble before the Lord. We need to make sure that we begin to tell the Lord, Lord, I don't know the answers to everything. I don't know this stuff. You have to teach me. You have to lead me. You have to guide me. And I'm going to tell you what, if we'll do that, he will teach you. He will lead you, and he will guide you into all truth. And it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure. You know, when Jesus came forth, the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And you know what? I don't care who you are right now or where you're at right now. When he looks at you, he says, "This is my beloved son or my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased." But I'm going to tell you, if you really want to know the truth, the Holy Spirit was sent to lead and guide us into all truth. And if you want to really know the truth, begin to confess that you're stupid. Really, begin to confess, "Lord, I'm so stupid. Will you please teach me?" And I'm going to tell you what, he just smiles and he says, "You know, I'm going to show you some stuff. I'm going to show you some things that other people don't see, other people don't know." I'm going to tell you what, he showed me the sovereignty of God right after I got saved, almost 50 years ago. I didn't hear anybody preach it for about 10 years after that. And a lot of the things he showed me 50 years ago, I'm just hearing them, people saying them today. And you know, I started teaching the sovereignty of God in this church. And you know what the sovereignty of God is? The name Lord, if you look up the actual meaning of the name Lord in the New Testament, it means sovereign controller. And if somebody's the sovereign controller, guess what? They're in control. But where we get in problems is that when we try to be in control and not let him be in control. When we think we know more than he knows. When we think, you know, I had a brother one time, you know, I asked him to speak down the mission. And he told me, he says, well, I'll tell you a couple of stories about that, and then I'm going to close. I had a brother, and I asked him about speaking down the mission. And he come back later on. He told me, he says, "Oh, man, I can't wait to get down there. God really gave me some great things, you know." And he was puffed up, and I could tell he was puffed up. And you know what? I felt like the Lord said, "Now you watch what happens." I really did, right when he said that. And I think I even told Margaret going home in the car, I said, "Oh, man," I said, "this ain't going to be good." I told her. And you know what? We went down to mission. He got up and tried to speak, and he was falling all over himself. And he told me after that, he says, "I ain't never speaking down there again." And, you know, that didn't last. Eventually, he did speak back down there. And eventually, God, you know, gave him other messages and stuff. But I also, the Lord had me go to one of the brothers that was in the church years ago. And the Lord had me ask him to come and speak at the mission when we was going down to the City Gospel Mission for years we went down there. And the Lord told me, he said, "He won't do it, but I want you to ask him anyway." And I went, and I told him, I said, "Brother," I said, "I felt like the Lord wanted me to ask you to speak down the mission. I said, you don't have to give me an answer right now. Just pray about it. He came back later and he says, you know, Oscar, he says, I think I'm way beyond that. He says, I'm too advanced for that. I don't need to go down to the mission. That's not my calling. And I thought, oh boy. And you know what? I don't know if the Lord ever used that guy to speak hardly at all after that. Didn't much while he was at church. If he spoke, I don't think he even spoke one time that I remember at church. And this was when Brother Eddie was still the pastor. But you know what, folks? I'm telling you, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and due time he'll exalt you. Let him do the exalting. And even when he exalts you, remember who's the one exalting. It's not you, it's him. It's not you that's smart enough to figure it out. It's him. It's not you that's coming up with these nuggets of truth. It's him giving it to you. And, you know, I thank God that I come to realize that at a real young age in the Lord. And I can usually tell, the Lord usually lets me know if somebody's getting puffed up and things. And I'm going to tell you what. He brings you down real fast if you're not careful, especially if he's going to take you on into the deeper things. He'll bring you down quick. And if you don't come down, sometimes he'll move you out of the way. Well, that's all I had to share with you. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. I thank you that you've given us the water of life, Father, and that water is your word. And, Father, I just thank you for the growth I see in all of our people. I thank you that you're just raising up a mighty army in the Lord. And a lot of times, you know, we think, well, praise God, these seats should be full. You know what? When Gideon was getting ready to go down and to fight against the Amalekites, you know, when he was getting ready to go down and fight against them, all a bunch of the people from Israel showed up. And the Lord told him, take them down to the river. Have them drink. And some of them lapped water like a dog, and other ones scooped it up in their hands and drank it. And he said, the ones that did it the certain way, he said, those are the ones that I'm going to use. And it was 300. And I tell you what, he uses small amounts of people to do mighty, mighty things. But it's not because of you. It's all because of him. And you know, he even sent Gideon down. Because remember, he called him that mighty man of valor. Guy hiding in the wine press. And sometimes we try to hide from the Lord. Even the things he's trying to tell us to do, we still try to hide from it. And he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, if you're really wanting to do this, he said, give me a sign. And he laid out a fleece. And sometimes God will honor your fleeces when you lay them out. And, you know, I know when the Lord first started moving me into prophetic word, I'd be standing out in a congregation, and I wasn't even an elder at that point. I'd be standing out in the congregation, and the Lord would start giving me words going through my head, and I'd say, oh, is that really you, Lord? Is that really you? And it would be things to bless people and things to encourage people. And I stood out there one day and I said, oh, Lord, if that's really you, give it to somebody else. I laid a fleece out before him. What did he do? Some other lady over on the other side of the church took off prophesying exact same words, word for word, exactly what God was running through my head. Okay. And you know what? The next time that the Lord gave me a prophetic word, guess what? I still didn't move. I went out of church, felt like I was dragging my tail between my legs. And finally I said, Lord, I'm going to be a fool for you or whatever. And I finally started moving, you know, when God would give me a word for somebody. But I want to tell you what, you put them fleeces out, that's okay for a while. But then he even allowed Gideon to go down and listen close to the tents of the enemy and listen to what they were saying. And this guy started telling this story. He says, I seen a rock cut out of the mountain. He said, I seen a barley loaf. Now, this is a barley loaf, a loaf of bread rolling down the mountainside. And it hit the tents of the Midianites and knocked them down. And this guy says, and I perceive that's the sword of Gideon. You think God speaks to your enemies, folks? He does. And sometimes they've got more insight into what God's going to do than you do. And you know what? All that the Lord had Gideon do was to take and blow a trumpet and have a pitcher of light. And they were to break the pitcher of light and blow the trumpet. Now, I don't know how they broke the light, broke the vessel that had the light in it so the light would shine. But maybe the Lord broke it. Maybe when he blew the trumpet, it broke. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what. The enemy devoured itself. They got so scared and everything, they began to fight amongst themselves. And they took care of themselves. And you know, this battle is the Lord's. It's not yours. This victory is the Lord's. You get to take part in it. You're part of those suns. You're part of those stars that sang, and part of the sons of God who are going to leap for joy. And I tell you what, but I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be hard to leap for joy if you can't come in here and once in a while raise your hands and praise the Lord. Or if you can't come in here once in a while and just let loose and holler out hallelujah once in a while. I'd like to hear you do that.
Hallelujah.
Oh, amen. There you go. But anyway, that's all I had to share with you today. Father, in Jesus' name, just have your way. Bless your people. I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. And help us all, Lord, to realize who and what we are in you. Help us to realize that we are part of Elohim. We were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And when we were born into the very family of God, he is a part of us and we are a part of him. In him we live and move and have our being, Scripture says. And I'm going to tell you what, when you have that realization, then you have to say, God's my helper all the time, because you're moving and flowing in him. And Father, I just thank you, and I just give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Didn't have no music today.